Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat is daf Kuf Lamed Chet, and we're holding a Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beit, beginning the new Halakha Perek. We finished Rabbi Eliezer Gemila, and now we're going to be learning Rabbi Eliezer, but we call this Perek Tolin, just to be mechalek. So, Perek Tolin begins, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Tolin et Meshameret B'Yom Tov, and you can even be Notunin L'Tluya B'Shabbat. So you're allowed to spread out a Meshameret. What this would mean is that you take a piece of material, basically. They actually sell, you see these things often. Not for use of Meshameret, but a piece of material is an elastic piece around the edge that spreads out over, they use them as covers. So, but in those days, what you do, take a piece of material and spread it tightly over a kli of some kind, and then you have a makeshift type of filter for your wine, and then you pour your wine through it, and any of the lees that were left in the wine will get left behind. Obviously, this is a form of Bora, we'll get into the details of what it is, but the actual making the Meshameret, that is putting it around the top of the pot, whatever you're putting it around, is similar to making an ohel, because you're spreading it out over the top of it. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can even do that on Yom Tov. We'll see this has to do with Rabbi Eliezer's psak about Makshiri Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov, and therefore relates very much to Rabbi Eliezer de Mila. Rabbi Eliezer de Mila was revolved around the issue of Makshirin. So does Rabbi Eliezer and Tolin at the end. So you're allowed to do this on Yom Tov, and on Shabbos, if it's already up from before, you can pour the wine through it, and that's not considered to be Derech Borer. The Gemara is going to be going into the details of this, but this is certainly not a typical kli for Brira, and therefore it's okay. V'chachamim omrim, you cannot be tole a Mishameret on Yom Tov, and you cannot be noting L'Tuluya on Shabbat, even if it was there from before, but on Yom Tov, where it's actually a directly Minishum Ochel Nefesh, you can pour through something that's already Tuluya on Yom Tov. Now, this is a serious problem, because we saw before that according to Rabbi Eliezer, in the sugya of the Pekaka Chalon, remember I had the question whether you could put a covering into a window. Well, we had the whole thing, according to him, it needs to be hanging there on the window and tied, because otherwise you're being masif and all that, right? Like this, if it's tied, so it's considered to be part of the house already. He's the one who is most machmer over there. So if he holds, Ashtar Rabbi Eliezer, Sufi Olorolo Masifin, he holds you're not even allowed to add a piece to something that is standing, which obviously covering a window is not creating a new, oh, you're adding a little piece that's going to be taken away. It's Arroy Lagamra. You're not going to leave it there. And you're not even allowed to add to something which is permanently there, something which is impermanent. You're telling me that he can make lechatchila the whole thing? Does that make sense? That the method lechatchila is mutter? What are you referring to, Mahi? It's not kakachalon. We had before the whole sugya. Rabbi Eliezer says only bezman shekashur v'tolui pokekimbo. The only time you can use this window covering is if it's permanently in place because it's tied on and it's hanging there, so it doesn't look like it's on the ground. It's not, here it's part of the binyan. V'imav ein pokekimbo, and it's the chachomim who argue, and they say benkaku benkak pokekimbo. And how do you explain that? And by the way, it's obviously the same sugya because Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, explained the sugya there as follows. Let's understand the machlokas. Both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachomim are made that you cannot stomp, set up an ol aroi for the first time on Yom Tov, which is exactly what we're talking about over here, I think, isn't it? I mean, you're putting the Mishameret over the edges of the kli, and that is considered to be aser. And for sure on Shabbos you can't. The Machlokas is about Mosif. So Rabbi Eliezer holds you're not even allowed to be Mosif on Yom Tov, and for sure not on Shabbos. So that's why you cannot put on the Pekaka Chalon. Whereas the Chachamim say you can be Mosif, but even on Shabbos, and Ein Tzarech Lomer B'Yom Tov, and here he's coming along and he's saying you can even make a Lechatchila. I am really confused. Says the Gemara, what's there to be confused about? We know very well that there's one thing that is different about Yom Tov and Shabbos. And what is that? Food. Is a pekaka chalon for food? No. So whatever he holds, l'gabi, its status of a malach or nisid rabbanon, we're going to see what's involved. But Rabbi Eliezer is like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda holds in the Chachamim say in ben Yom Tov leShabbat ela ochel nefesh bovad, that the only difference between Yom Tov and Shabbat are things that need to be done for food. And Rabbi Yehuda says, don't say that, because that would mean only if it's directly for the food. But if you need to do it in order to have the tools to make the food, so it's about Shiri Ochel Nefesh, remind you of the previous parak, There we go. So we understand that these are parallel prakim. Over there we're talking about makshirim from Mila. Here we're talking about an extension of the makshirim. In this case, it's makshirim of ochel nefesh on yontav. So I hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says even makshirim ochel nefesh are mutter. Therefore, you can make them a shamaret, essentially, even though it would be osir. Hold on a minute. Remember that we had over there a whole problem with Rabbi Yehuda. And we were mechalik in Rabbi Yehuda, and we said, even though, because the posik, remember, Rabbi Yehuda darshin the posik, so anything that's needed for ochel nefesh. So we said, lachem means even makshirim. But on the other hand, it's who? Only it, nothing else. Is it not makshirim? How do you explain that? So Rabbi Yehuda explained over there that makshirim that are efshel asota mi erev yom tov are usher, because he could have done them, should have done them before. Makshirim that need to be done on yom tov that couldn't have been done before, those things you could do on yom tov. So now this answer doesn't help you one bit. Even if he holds Rabbi Yehuda, you certainly could have spread out the mishamer before yom tov. That's crazy. Why not? Doesn't he hold makshirin she'iyemet ha-shamin ala Rabbi Yehuda? When does Rabbi Yehuda hold that? He only holds this in a case where it's makshirin she'iyev shalasot ha-mirav yomtov. Does he hold makshirin she'ef shalasot ha-mirav yomtov? Mishamatle? No. You're right. We didn't. Except who's to say that Rabbi Eliezer holds exactly like Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe he has a different explanation of the pasuk. I'm not telling you that this mishnah is a consequence of Rabbi Yehuda. Of course it's Rabbi Eliezer shita. I'm just pointing the direction. That is, he holds that be'etzem, makshirim are mutter. It takes even a step further. So the Rebbe Eliezer's hadifim in the Rebbe Yehuda takes it one step further, in which aliba the Rebbe Yehuda, if it could have been done before Yontev, such as spreading out the Mishameret, which certainly doesn't affect anything, it's just a kli for a kli, you know. So over there, and there's no idea of freshness, no reason why not to have it prepared for before, Rebbe Yehuda would say it's us. Rebbe Eliezer is not machalic, he's like, it's not machalic b'mila. You need to do it, and therefore he's odd if he takes it even a step further than Rebbe Yehuda himself. Now, the Chachamim say, no, ain't tolin at the Mishameret b'yam tov, and ain't not lim betulia. How about if you would? What would be involved in the Isser? If you would be tolin Mishameret on Shabbos, tolin mai. Omar Rav Yosef, listen, if you'd be tola, then it would bamish be an Isser right, and you would be chayav chatat. Omar le Abai, I mean, that is the craziest thing ever. What do you mean chayav chatat for spreading a cloth over the top of a pot? What are you saying? That's called a derech of binyan? A cloth on a pot? I suppose, according to you, elamiyata tola kuzza b'mesichtach, and amir machayav? So in other words, if you take your teacup, and you hang your teacup on a peg, I mean, you're adding to the house, you know, so I suppose you'd be chayav chatat for that too. Now, obviously, this doesn't follow in the least, as all the Rishonim say. Well, what kind of craziness is this? I mean, over there, there's no building. First of all, that's the derech. I mean, it's not considered to be part of a house. It's a place to keep a teacup. Secondly, the case of the Mishameret is you're making an oil by having an actual space covered with something, where you have something covered with something. And the other case of the Mishameret is you're putting it around the sides in order for it to stay there. Over here, you're not doing anything. You're hanging it. You're not doing something to keep it there. So I personally think that those Rishonim who say that he doesn't really mean this make the most sense. In other words, Abai is saying this is so ridiculous. You might as well tell me that hanging a teacup is also on Shabbos, so you'd be chayav chatos. Others change the lashon, hokinami de machayev, that hokinami de otzer, basically. In other words, if you're saying that this is chayev, you should have asked already hanging a teacup, because it's similar. I mean, that's crazy. Okay. Ella, Om Rabbi, therefore says, I don't think this is the case. Kiev Chat is not possible. What you could say over here is that the Rabbanan Aser, the Tliat HaMishamaret, because you're going to be Ose Kederek Sho Oseh B'chol. You're doing something which is an Uvda D'chol. There's a beautiful Tshuvas HaRambam, where the Rambam says, the meaning of Uvda D'chol, we think Uvda D'chol means it looks like something that you're doing during the week. The Rambam's Shita is that Uvda D'chol is something which is and habitually ends with an Asiyas B'mocha. So in other words, normally, when you would be doing this, you would be doing Shibur, and then you would be over on Bera. So once you start spreading it out, you end up doing what you normally do in the week. That's the point. So you lose awareness of the fact that you're only doing this. I mean, because it doesn't really make sense to only do this. That's the Uvda D'chol. Many ask on the Rambam, but in any event, according to him, Uvda D'chol could be the makor of the concept of Shvut, Bichlal, which would explain a steer in Rashi, because, the way he understands is a steer in the Sugya, as to whether the Isra over here is an Isra Shvus of Binyan, the Rabbanan answered this type of thing because it's Binyan, or Uvda D'chol. And there may be differences between those two approaches. And the question is, how do we come out of the maskana? Is it Uvda Dechol or is it their opinion, as we'll see later on? It may be that there's no real difference between those two. Now, Mankit Abaya Chumri Matnita Vatani. What Abaya would do is he would collect, Mankit, he would be locate, he would collect various Chumri. Now, Chumri does not mean Chumras. Chumri means nuts. If you remember Kamin Chomer, very often we say, oh, he explained this Kamin Chomer. Where you knot something together is a way of, in the Gemara, using the concept of integration. What it means is the creation of a set. So Abaye would collect various items in different sugyas that were spread out, and he would collect them into sets. Now the sets that he created over here in this sugya is Issur D'oraita, Potur Avolos, which is Issur D'rabbanan, and even Mutar L'chatchila. Now there's this whole overall set of things that you're building, making, putting out on Shabbat, and within that, he separated it into three things and collected it. So here's how he did it. First set is the goad. Now, that goad, that word, whether it's really supposed to say goad or whether it's supposed to say node, some have the gears of node. A node, as you know, is a leather drinking bag. What's it called? A skin. Something like that. I think it's called a skin. But the goad differs from the standard node, Mr. Richard Fox, I believe it was. You're invited to the principal's office to stand outside of the door, please. Yes, you've done it again. Yes. And this time, exactly, this time, you're calling your parents. And if they'd actually show up, boy, you'd be scared out of your wits. It differs from the node in that it has pieces, straps, or parts of the body that were originally there left on it, which are hung up at night in order to protect the contents. So what you would do when you put in, let's say, milk in this thing, it would also serve to keep the milk cold by being spread out in the wind at night, and the air would go all around it, and that would preserve either the milk or the wine that's inside of it. So that's the case of the goad, and you spread it, and in spreading it, you're basically making an oat kind of thing, all right? So you have the goad and the mishameret, which is our case, where you're spreading it out over the top of the pot. A kila is a canopy over a bed. And a kisei galim, is the type of thing that we had before, which we called the mita galanita. That's the same idea over here. And that is what they used to do over there, is they would go from place to place, and they would have all of the things portable, and then they would put them back together again. Now, there's the machlokas over here, Rishonim, as to whether the issue is that when they would put them back together again, they would have to stick the pieces in, so it would be like the question of chuliot that we had before, which is a gezerah of shami yitka b'chazaka, and that's the shaila of makeh b'patish, as Rashi explained it earlier. But the mashmaot of the sugi here, as other Rishonim taina, is that this is all part of miticha, the spreading things out that become ohel-like. So it's difficult to believe that all of a sudden we've switched into another sugi of shami yitka, even though you could say we're only talking about things that you're spreading out on Shabbos for different reasons. But it's more likely that the case over here of the Kisei Galin is that what they would do is they would first spread a frame and then they would attach the leather around the edges tightly. That is similar to the Mishameret, spreading the Mishameret over here over the top of the cleat. So in all of these cases, this is one set. Why is it one set? Because it's usher to do it l'chatchila, according to the Rabban, but lo yaseh but im asah patur v'avlosur. Now, the next set, well, that's any type of ol kvah. So if it's going to be permanently up like that, you cannot do it. But if you did do it, you'd actually be chayv chatas. There are other cases which you're even allowed to do l'chatchila, which is a standard bed, which maybe folds up into the wall, or you just put it on its side. Where over there, you're not doing any type of spreading. You're just putting it back down again. And if you have a kisei traskal, that's what we would call basically a folding shed, is a piece of leather that's attached permanently to it. I used to actually have something like this, where you open it up, the leather then is spread out, and then you've got a chair to sit on, but you don't have to put anything on it. An asla is a toilet seat, which obviously is always up, and when you put it down to use it as a toilet seat, that's interesting that in the Gemara, the asla referred not to the asla that we say today, but rather to the covering of the asla. This was a little bit of a misuse of a Gemara term into modern Hebrew, where the asla becomes a toilet bowl, which is not true in the Gemara. But these cases where it's meant to go up and down anyway, and that's part of its normal usage, that's mutter l'natotam l'chatchila, just putting them back in their place. Okay, moving on, the Mishnah said, Einot inut lo yabi Shabbat. What would be the din if you actually poured wine through this filter on Shabbos? Shimer mai. Says Rav Kana, she married B'chayav Chatas. I mean, this is classic border, you know? Do you understand what you're saying? You're saying there's a machloket over here, mina katze ala katze, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, lechatchila, you're allowed to do this. Notnim letzluya. And according to Rabbanan, you're claiming that according to Rabbanan, you'd be chayav chatas. I mean, if there's a tzad to say chiyuv chatat, do we ever find that there's a machloket that goes from one extreme to the other extreme like that? I mean, matkev l'rishamika midi, that according to Rabbanan, you're chayav chatas, and Rabbi Eliezer can come out, and he should say, even lechatchila tzvot. I mean, at least if there's a tzad to say chiyuv chatas, so then the idea that's against it would say, look, it's not a chiyuv chatas, but don't do it. Matke Florev Yasef, excuse me. And why not? This is your opinion that we don't find extreme machlokas. And I'll give you an example. Extreme machlokas. Alamalo. Want an example with Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim? I'll give you an example with Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. We had before the question of an ear shel zahav. So this was a very heavy, beautiful decoration. We have the story of Rabbi Akiva who gave his wife an ear shel zahav when he was able to afford it for all those years. Anyway, the halacha over there is Gabi Shabbos. Rabbi Meir holds that it's a masa. It's considered to be not a mode of dressing, but something that you're carrying on you. And therefore, if a woman would walk out on Shabbos, there would be a chiyuv chatat. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's mutter lechatchila. Huh? How about that? So according to him, it's mutter lechatchila. But by the way, what is that referring to? Can we go straight to the source? Mayi? Yes, the Tanya. Lo tetzei isha b'ir shel zahav. V'im yatzach hayevet chatat divrei Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, carries this on Shabbat, it's carrying. The Chachamim say, no, it's not carrying. It's a decoration. Therefore, it's considered to be a malbush. However, we don't allow you to wear the type of thing that might be taken off in Rishut HaRabim in order to show to your friends, and then you casually continue walking and forget about the fact that you're being metaltal on Shabbos. Arba Amos Rishut HaRabim. And therefore, im yatzah, of course you'd be potter, as long as you didn't do that. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, there's no problem. Yatzah isha b'ir shel zahav l'chatchila. If you recall the Gemara earlier, man darka latzet b'ir shel zahav isha chashuvah. The only person who would wear something like that is a woman of chashivut, and says someone of stature doesn't take off things to show to friends. It's really low class. So it won't happen. So there you go. You have a machloket min hakatzeh lakatzeh. Rabbi Meir says you're chayav chatas. Rabbi Eliezer says mutar lechatchila. And what are you upset with me for that I'm saying that case over here too? According to Chachamim, you'd be over on Bayer, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, mutar lechatchila. Omlei Abayah. There's no comparison, excuse me. Over there, there's three deot. There's Rabbi Meir, the Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer. So you basically have a spectrum of shitot. According to Rabbi Meir, it's chayav chatas. According to Rabbanan, it's aser, but it's not an issur d'oraita. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's mutter lechatchila. So Rabbi Eliezer is not arguing on Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer is arguing on the Chachamim. And the machlokas here, in terms of Rabbi Eliezer, is a machlokas whether it's aser b'rabbanan or mutter lechatchila, not whether it's a chiyuv chatat. Mi sabarta that Rabbi Eliezer was arguing directly with Rabbi Meir, who says chayav chatat. Rabbi Eliezer had a machlokas with the Rabbanan, who said, Diamre, poter aval aser. So he says to them, look, I agree with you. Of course there's no iser. You hold there's a gzeira. I hold it's mutter even lechatchila. That's all. Now, according to Rabbi Yosef, who says that it would be a libet rabbonan, a chiyuv chatas, what would be the hatra'ah? Now, we know, we saw earlier, that anything that it was in the Mishkan was considered to be choshev, and therefore listed separately, but that there's many different elements of borer that were done in the Mishkan in different ways. So what particularly would be the hatra'ah over here? Now, most Rishonim hold that it's not exclusive. In other words, that any of the various malachas that essentially consist of separating out two things would be a usable hatra'ah. So, but the question is, what is the ikar thing? Okay. So, Mishumai Matrinanbe, Rava says, look, I mean, you could use borer. You could tell him you're not allowed to do that because you're being borer on Shabbat. Rabbi Zera says, no, the thing that it's most similar to is actually harkadah. So the iser should be mirakeit. Because if you're poor, this is the difference between borer would be you have let's say a bunch of kitniot on the ground and you take out the parts that you want. Well, we're going to talk about that in a moment. You take out something from something else, yadanit, and that's what you're masering. Rabbi Zera says no. I mean, it's basically like putting something through a sieve, right? So you're going to take flour and you put it through a sifter. I mean, that's what you're doing over here. You have the mishamaret, you're pouring the wine through the mishamaret. So that's more like merake. You should tell them, don't do that, you're going to be over on harkada. Omar Rabba, well, I think what I'm saying makes more sense. Kavati didi mistavra makes a lot more sense because look, madar kosho borer, no tel ochel, minia chapsolet. Now, this, of course, is going to bother our president very much, which is why I wanted him to wait. So just like the derech of borer is you take the good part and you leave behind the psolet. Here too, you're taking out the oklum by allowing the wine to pour through, and you're leaving behind the psolet. Now, obviously this is problematic because we said before exactly the opposite. We said that the derech is, it does assess, it's over there, that the derech is that you take out the psolet. There's a little, some little pebbles and so on in a mixed. Then you take the pebbles out and you leave behind the oklum. So how come it says over here the opposite? Now, Tosfos says that it depends which one is meruba. In other words, wherever the tirch is meruba in that direction, you do the other way, of course. Normally, you have a few pebbles mixed in with your beans or whatever. You take out the pebbles. In this case, where you have tons of stuff that's floating through the wine, so it's easier than to be notel et ha'otel. Others say the point, we're not concentrating on which one comes out of which one. What we're talking about is whether the thing is thrown out after you finish it, or it's the other thing is thrown out or not. And that's the derech, to throw out. And that's what we do over here. So it's similar to the Bora. Whereas Rabbi Zera says, Kavati didim istara, I would say, take a look at how it's being done, okay? What you're doing is, if you're putting something through a sifter, so over here, aren't you putting something through a sifter? What happens is the larger pieces get left behind. Isn't that what happens over here? You pour the wine through, the pieces that are there in the wine, the li, is larger, and therefore gets stuck in the filter. So the derech of a merakeid is that you're left with the psolet on top, and the ochel seeps out to the bottom, which is exactly what happens over here. Alfochanami psolet milamala, and the ochel milamata, and therefore this is essentially the same thing as the harkada. Toni Rami bar Yecheskel, talit kvula lo yaseh, v'im asa patur. What you should be careful is not to put your talit on. What they would do is they would have basically a canopy, and then you would have a folded talit, let's say, on top of the canopy, pull it out to the four sides of the bed, tie it around the poles, and that would be a canopy bed. So that would also, what they would do is it would let hang down over the side, it would make a machitza around the side, which is some of the fancy canopies do that. They're not just on top, they have the ruffles coming down around the edges. It's very pretty. So you cannot make it the chatchila on Shabbos to spread that talit on its side, because that's considered to be similar to an ohel. But if you did it, it would be potter, just that it's osir. And there's even a way to do it the chatchila. And how is that? If it's set up in such a way that there are poles attached to the side. So it's basically more like a window-shaped kind of affair. So it's all, you know, it's all put very pretty up against the middle. And then when you want to use it, you pull the strings and it comes down along the sides. And it's all set up from before. It's not that you're actually picking it up and putting it out and we're over there. It's similar to binyan. And therefore, you could make it, says Rami Bar Yecheskel, you could set it up in a way that would be mutter lechatchila. So if you attach a little mechanism to it from before that allows you to just pull on a string and now it comes out, that's great. And of course, this is we do this on our windows, but that may be different as we'll see. We do that all the time. So our shades will, you know, the fancy shades will fold up, and then you let them fold back out. Boy, mine rifkanami rab. And here is one of those zen-like gemaras that are meant to be the relationship of the student to the master, where the master is going to drive you absolutely bananas by saying completely irrational things, and then you're going to have to figure out, as any good Zen koan, what are you talking about? So Rav Kana asks Rab, what's the din of spreading out the canopy? And he said to him, what do you mean? Even the bed is usher, forget about the canopy. Well, what's the din of a bed? Well, even the canopy is mutter. What do you ask you about the bed? Well, what's the din of a canopy and a bed? Well, the canopy is usher and the bed is mutter. So, what? And, of course, the way to decipher the koan is, well, Akasha, where Rav was saying, even the mita is usher, that's the mita galanita, the karmanai, like in Karmana, where we have those types of bed. We said before that if you have to put the skins over the bed, that is the equivalent of the mishamerat, even the mita would be usher. When I tell you even a kila is mutter, that's referring to the type of thing that we just said in Rami Bar Yecheskel. We have the mechanism that has the strings attached to it to allow you to just pull the string, and it comes out over the side. That's even mutter lechatkila. And where we spoke about the kila, the canopy being usher, but the mita itself being muteret, that's the typical structure that we have in our homes, and that's kididan. Omer of Yosef. I saw that they actually would, at night, I passed by the bedroom and I saw that they had the beds all made with the fancy canopies. And in the morning, I saw that the canopies had been taken down. They were all folded up again. So in other words, whatever would be mutter to put out, obviously was mutter to take down again too. If you have a curtain that covers over a doorway, let's say, and the purpose of this curtain is to, for tzniut, to prevent the sun from shining in, you're allowed to put that up and you're allowed to take it down. So Rashi says because only something which is built horizontally is considered to be an ohel, not something that is put vertically. Now, there's many kashas on it. The mefarshim are machalic between something that is meant to be part of the building, and that's with the questions of the pkaka halon and so on, or something which is there essentially for tzniut or shade. So if it's for tzniut or shade, it doesn't resemble building in any way. And therefore, if it's meant to be put up, meant to be put down, you could spread that out on Shabbos. V'yomer Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya, kilat chatanim is mutar lanatota mutar lafarka. Now, the kilat chatanim is a very confusing sugya, because a kilat chatanim, in its essence, is a reference to a really like a honeymoon suite kind of bed. If you keep this thing in your house, it was meant for good luck. You know, so it was a sign of love in the house. Because what a kilat chatanim is where the canopy is spread out in such a way that there's not four poles on the side. There's only one pole that runs across the top. And the canopy is very close, tight-fitting. So it's intimate for a couple. And that it suggests lovemaking. So they called it a kilat chatanim. Now, in most cases, the kilat chatanim wasn't even usable because it was just a model, really, of a bed. It was small. And it looked like a kilat chatanim to remind people that a house is a place of love, you know, and a little heart engraved on it and so on. So it was a mazel thing. However, there really are kilot chatanim. Now, we need to be machalic between those types of things. So here it says, kilat chatanim, you're allowed to put it up on Shabbat, you're allowed to take it down on Shabbat. Omer Rav Sheshet Berei the Rav Idi. Now listen to the conditions, and you'll realize, oh my God, you can't even use something like that. So obviously, in the end, we're going to be talking about the kilat chatanim that isn't meant for really sleeping under. So Omer Rav Sheshet Berei the Rav Idi. Look, first of all, you got to understand, when you say you're allowed to build it on Shabbat, obviously, it cannot have a tefach along the piece that is the middle of the roof, because a tefach is an ohel. How would you be allowed to make an ohel on Shabbat? That means that the little piece in the middle, when you spread it out, does not have a tefach. That's first of all. Obviously, if it had a tefach, it would be osur. And even where the gag doesn't have a tefach, remember that we don't measure by the uppermost sharp piece. Anything within three tvachim is considered to be all one top. So if within three tvachim you have a tefach, it also wouldn't be mutter to put it on Shabbos, because that's the same as having a tefach on top. So if you would have yesh bepachot bishloshav, within three tefachim somuch legaga, you'd have a tefach, boom. For all intents and purposes, you have a tefach on the top, and therefore it would be usher because it would be the equivalent of building. Furthermore, even in that case, if it doesn't have a tefach on top, it's olamin alashem b'shipua tefach. It's only where the entire distance that is covered between the top and the place where it hits the bed, from the middle, in other words, to each side, is not a tefach. But if there's two tefachim on the bed, boy, you got to be pretty thin people to fit on a two tefachim bed. So obviously, as Rashi says, we're not talking about a kilat chatanim that is meant for humans to sleep under. Okay. So if it gets to two tefachim, there we pass that shipuei o'alim ka'alim damu. The total of the shipua is considered to be measured as part of the ohel, which would mean that you would have a tefach. If you have a tefach on the bed from the middle, on this side or on that side, then you've got an ohel. And furthermore, only if the top doesn't extend from the platform of the bed, a tefach downwards. But if it goes down a tefach downwards, then it becomes the equivalent of a wall around the bottom part, which turns the mita to the top of the wall, and this becomes the side of the wall. And now you make yourself a little house, so to speak, like kids do on Shabbos. They love to play with it. They put something over there, right? And then they're making a house, basically, by having it hang down. Some of the Rishonim time.